are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball! What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, December the 24th. And finally, after such a long wait, Pistons basketball is back. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well.
And I'm Brother Brian, and I once almost ran into Jack White going into a Starbucks while I was busy checking out his girlfriend.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. Appreciate you guys spreading the word during the long off season. You could have had a baby in the time in between the last time that the Pistons played and Wednesday night when the 2020-2021 season got going, and we're back to talk all about it today, talking Minnesota Timberwolves and the 0-1 start to the season for the Pistons. Today, also some big picture topics that we'll probably revisit as the season goes along quite a bit. Dwayne Casey, how he's handling minutes in closing lineups. Killian Hayes, how did he look in his NBA debut? And Mason Plumlee with some good and bad in his game tonight, and how we should feel about this, how we should approach the season. A little bit later on, we're going to talk about a big name joining the organization as well, and Brother Brian's got the college game to watch, as it is Thursday with Brian. Usually it's Fridays with Brian, but we're going Thursday instead. Brian, how are you feeling today?
I'm scared for tomorrow. Christmas Eve means I've got to wrap presents, and that is one of my least favorite things to do.
Well, if there's one for me, you can skip the wrapping. I'll just throw that out there, so we'll check that one off the box. But give me a follow on Twitter, and do wrap my present, listeners, if you do have one to send along. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. Give Brother Brian a follow at BShook12 on Twitter, and also the Play Michigan account, Play_Michigan. Now, Brian, we had game one of the season on Wednesday night, and I used to call the red letter games is what I called them, because the Pistons were going to be fighting for those seventh and eighth seeds in the Eastern Conference playoff these last couple years. So any game against Washington or Brooklyn or Orlando and those kind of teams were always a red letter game, because not only are you trying to win that game for yourself, but you're trying to hand an L to that team that you're fighting with in the standings there. The games where you're up against the other dregs of the NBA this year fighting for those lottery odds right now, which we kind of expect the Pistons to be, spoiler alert, there for the season. I threw it out there on Twitter. Aaron, one of the listeners, said brown, maybe a brown letter game, but that feels a little bit mean. He also threw out olive green. Do you have a thought on what we should call these games between the Timberwolves, the Knicks, the Hornets, those type of teams that we might be dueling within the bottom this year?
Well, I like your red letter game, because that does kind of invoke the importance of these when you are fighting for a spot. And there aren't going to be many games where the Pistons are actually going to be favored going into the game. And this wasn't one of them. They were still 5.5-point dogs going into this game. But you're right. You know, separating these games out that the Pistons should be competitive in is important, and to track how well they're doing in them. And I do like your term for red letter games. And I actually used that the other day in conversation, because you had told me that before. I think it's a good practice that you do, that we focus on these what should be winnable games for the Pistons.
But what happened on Wednesday night? Brother Brian's got the game recap for us right now. Pistons Timberwolves, how did it go?
This is your Pistons game recap.
Towns left all alone, and Minnesota has the lead!
The Pistons got off to a hot start, but couldn't hold on down the stretch and ended up losing 111-101 to the Timberwolves in Minnesota to open the season. Detroit led by as many as 14 points, and the Timberwolves didn't lead until halfway through the fourth quarter, but when they changed their defense to zone late in the game, it seemed to throw off the Pistons, who let a winnable game slip away. The Pistons were led by Josh Jackson with 19 points off the bench, and he also grabbed 6 rebounds. Detroit also got quality play from another newcomer in Mason Plumlee, who scored 14 points, got 8 rebounds, and had 6 assists in 32 minutes. On his birthday, Sekou Doumbouya grabbed 9 boards in his 14 minutes of play. The Pistons started off with hot shooting in the first quarter, but ended up with a dismal 8 for 35 shooting from deep. Resident veteran players Blake Griffin and Derrick Rose both scored 15 for the 0-1 Pistons. Malik Beasley scored 23, Karl-Anthony Towns stuffed the stat sheet with 22 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 blocks, and D'Angelo Russell scored 18 points off the bench for Minnesota, who proved to be too much for the Pistons last night. The Timberwolves also got 15 points from this year's overall number 1 pick Anthony Edwards in his NBA debut. The Pistons' top draft pick Killian Hayes scored 7 points and had 3 assists, but turned the ball over 4 times with some bad late ones that opened the door for Minnesota to get back into the game. The Pistons did not cover the betonline.ag plus 5.5 line they set the game at, and the under came in the 224.5 mark they had the game at. The Pistons will try to get their first win of the season against former Pistons Andre Drummond and Thon Maker and the rest of the 1-0 Cleveland Cavaliers in the home opener in Detroit Saturday night at 7 p.m. This has been your Pistons game recap.
Detroit basketball!
Well done, Brian. Thanks for that. Just looking at the box score here, a couple of the numbers that jump out is the three-point shooting for the Pistons was an issue. 8 for 35, 23%. You're not going to win a lot of games on the road, particularly shooting like that. And the one that kind of getting a lot of talk right now is the discrepancy in attempts and makes, of course, for free throws. The Timberwolves shoot 24 of 28 from the line, 85%. And the Pistons go 3 of 8. So the percentage is obviously awful. But even more concerning is the fact that you only shoot 8 free throws. Did you have an issue with this officiating-wise? How did you kind of see that? Or is that just how you kind of saw the game go down?
Well, I didn't have necessarily an issue with the officiating until that late call against Mason Plumlee was the one that stood out to me largely. But free throw shooting has been an issue for me that I've been watching all of the preseason, and now it's kind of carried over into this first game as their worst percentage shooting. I know with only 8 attempts, it's tough to draw a huge picture as to how good this team is from the free throw line. But their last 3 preseason games, they shot 65% or under those 3 games. The first game, they started off 22 of 25, which impressed me because I didn't think they were that good. But then to see how much they fell in the last 3 preseason games and now to shoot under 40% from the line, this team isn't going to be good enough to be able to overcome poor free throw shooting. So that's something that moving forward needs to get remedied very quickly, or these close games aren't going to go the Pistons' way very often.
Yeah, and you got to get teams into foul trouble. You got to get easy baskets from the free throw line and also finishing near the hoop. We're looking at Okafor plays down low all game, 15 minutes only, but he doesn't shoot a free throw. He doesn't shoot a two-point basket or a free throw the entire game. Struggles from deep as well, 1 for 8. Josh Jackson played well, but doesn't shoot a free throw. The entire starting roster, 3 of 5 from free throw line, and that's just Blake Griffin, only himself. So, yeah, there needs to be and we know – I don't think this team is going to be shooting a lot of free throws this year just because of the makeup of some of these guys. But the Jeremy Grants, the DeLon Wrights, we'd like to see those guys. And Killian Hayes, we'll talk more about him a little bit later. But, yeah, those guys have got to get to the line at some point, and that'll come with aggressiveness from the young guys. But, you know, the Grants and the Wrights, you'd like to see a little bit more getting to the basket and taking it to guys like Karl-Anthony Towns as time goes on. But, Brian, I want to talk about a couple issues with this team and this podcast because, you know, it's going to be a long year in terms of the losses. I think we kind of have established that. The number one issue, and I kind of want to get this out there now, and this will be something that evolves and we'll talk about, but are you rooting for losses, or where are you at with the idea that had they won this game in Minnesota, when we're looking back on the season and how things went in March, April, May, as it goes on, that not only didn't really help things maybe, or maybe you want to get out to a nice groove to keep the fans interested and keep the players engaged and go, you know, 4-3 to start the year as opposed to 1-5 or whatever. But where are you at right now with like rooting for wins as opposed to the end result of what the goals are for this season?
In the moment, the sports fan in me is always rooting for a victory. It's tough to shut that off. But after this game, I'm able to take a step back, and we're going to talk about the minute distribution and specifically the rookies here in a little bit. But if you take a step back, this is kind of exactly the type of game we as Pistons fans should hope for, because – The team was very competitive. There was a lot to like. You know, Josh Jackson coming off the bench continued his good play. Killian Hayes showed flashes and some good moments. He had some bad moments down the stretches there too. But we saw a healthy Blake Griffin. We saw a healthy D. Rose. They each had 15 points. So they're contributing. Mason Plumlee's contributing. Jeremy Grant had kind of a rough night shooting. But we saw a lot of things that were good enough that I think we should feel good. We shouldn't feel bad about the direction this team is going. We should still feel good. And they were competitive, but ultimately it ends up with a loss. And for the franchise moving forward, I think this sort of game is kind of the best type of game with one caveat. You need to be able to close out games where you're winning by 14 points. And these young players need to learn that part of the game pretty high on the list of skills they need to obtain in the NBA is how to close out NBA games. So you don't want to see the Pistons run out to a double-digit lead and have it slowly slip away, actually pretty quickly slip away there near the end. But the result and the first 3.5 quarters are kind of exactly what we as Pistons fans in our heart of hearts should hope for, even though in the moment watching the game, the sports fans and us are always going to root for the red, white, and blue to do well. But to be able to take a step back and say, you know, actually, it's probably better for the franchise that we lose a game like this, where we can take some positives from it, and, you know, quite a few positives, actually. But ultimately, it doesn't hurt the draft status moving forward.
Yeah, I agree for the most part, but I like what you said at the end about you just can't be collapsing in the final 3 minutes. And if we're trying to build a culture here, that's got to be part of it. And this team needs to win some games too. Like, let's be honest, like you can't go 0 for 72. That would be a bad look, I think. The history might have something to say about that. So yeah, I just don't like the collapse at the very end. I'm with you. I'm rooting for wins in the moment. You're a sports fan. You want to see your team get the victory. We'd have a great, an even better tone if we're talking about a 1-0 start to the season right now. But to me, the way I look at it is when they lose, it just softens the blow, right? You just kind of say, okay, this is good, especially against a team like Minnesota. But yeah, it'd be nice to beat some good teams at some point too. But yeah, you don't want to be losing that double-digit lead in the fourth quarter and just, like you said, collapsing down the stretch, especially defensively, which is something you want to start, you know, hanging your hat on with this franchise. So some good there, some bad there. It hopefully doesn't get too monotonous and hopefully doesn't get too routine to watch this team lose. I mean, it's something we're going to have to kind of get used to, but also you hope the competitive spirit shines through throughout. But we got some more kind of big picture topics and also some granular things to talk about with this game. The overreaction season is in full force, and we're here for it. That's coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first,
it's Bang the Over Brother Brian here, and have I got the perfect way for you to spend your holiday? BetOnline.ag has you covered for all your basketball needs on Christmas. And are you ready for some football? College football is heading into the bowl season, and there are some big matchups this weekend. The NFL playoff picture is becoming even clearer. There is only one place that has you covered, and one place we trust, BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. NBA action wall-to-wall on Christmas Day, and some games you might want to check out are the Bucks' 9.5-point favorites over the Warriors. Think the Lakers are going to try to avenge their first loss and score a ton of points? Well, you can bang the over. 229 in that game where they take on Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. Check out the late game, which is a rematch of last year's playoffs between the Nuggets and Clippers, with the Clips favored by a point. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Yes, sir!
The holidays are about giving, so I'm giving you a hot tip that could earn you some extra cash. The new Locked On Bets podcast is hosted by Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Lee is red hot to start the season, and he shares a lock of the day on every episode. Subscribe to Locked On Bets today wherever you get your podcasts.
Brother Brian joining us for a special Christmas Eve edition of Thursdays with Brian, kind of breaking a little bit from tradition here. I guess we're starting a new Christmas Eve tradition is what we're doing here with Brother Brian. But the Pistons fall 111-101 to the Minnesota Timberwolves on the road. Karl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards with a nice game. The number one pick off the bench, showing right away the things that you like about him, getting to the basket, that real nice burst kind of contrary to the other rookie he went up against tonight. We'll talk about that. But we talked about how to deal with losses. And I feel like – I feel bad because I kind of – like we're burning the main topics of the season here on night one, and we'll just kind of be – this will be an ongoing theme. But Dwayne Casey, and I know we always – Dwayne – every coach in every sport is kind of a whipping boy at times, and Dwayne Casey is no different. The last couple years, Pistons Twitter and Pistons fans, everyone – I think it's – in my opinion is that we over talk about rotations sometimes. It was like, what is this lineup that's out here in the second quarter? And it's like, well, there wasn't a whole lot of players, good players to choose from to throw off the bench to play with these guys. So, yeah, Luke Kennard's going to try to have to carry this second unit sometimes. That's just my opinion. But I'm going to kind of change my tune about that a little bit this year because we know what this year is, right? This is a rebuilding year. And, no, I don't think that Isaiah Stewart should play 32 minutes or anything like that. But – I just think that for Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart to pull DNPs in game one when you have a couple of days off that could have been a little bit of a film session, I just think that Dwayne Casey has to – and this is contrary to what I said about Christian Wood where I was okay with the kind of slow playing of his minutes last year. This is a different team. This is a different season. And they've got to find ways, and I know they will as time goes on, but Bey and Stewart have to get a few minutes here and there, get coached up, learn from some stuff, get on the court in the NBA, and figure out just ways to get these guys out there.
I agree in principle. I'm not about to sound the alarm on night one as, you know, maybe it's part of the plan that they're going to ease them into it. If this sort of game happens in February, March, or even January for that matter, yeah, it's going to be a little more glaring and I'll throw my arms up and say, what are we doing? I look at this game and the way this game unfolded, and I can excuse Isaiah Stewart not playing because Mason Plumlee was playing so well and he was so effective. But I looked at, you know, when Minnesota switched to that zone and Detroit just couldn't figure it out, and you had somebody like Svi out there shooting 1-for-8 from deep, and you've got this guy on the bench who was shooting 45% from college. He can drive the ball. He has a little bit more on his tool belt than Svi does offensively to, you know, penetrate into that zone a little bit. It seemed like kind of the perfect opportunity. I know it was crunch time, and maybe that's not the optimal opportunity to throw a rookie in for his first NBA minutes, but I felt that presented itself, that we should have seen Sadiq Bey for a little bit last night. But again, it's the first game. I'm not necessarily going to sound the alarm on Dwayne Casey not playing these guys at all, and hopefully we start to see these guys being worked into the rotation a little bit more. But if this is the sort of game that happens in, you know, 3 weeks, a month, or any part or any amount of time beyond there, and, you know, then maybe it is time to start asking what this franchise is doing and if there's a disconnect between the front office and the coaching staff as to what the strategy for this year needs to be. We're looking at somebody like Isaiah Stewart and Sadiq Bey not getting any minutes. Sekou Doumbouya got less than 15 minutes tonight. Mm-hmm. So it was also funny though, because on the flip side of that, what people always fall back to what Dwayne Casey likes to rely on the veterans, Wayne Ellington and Roddy Magruder didn't get in either. So it's not like those guys were the guys that were taking up minutes. It was a 10-man rotation tonight, and it's going to be tough. You know, Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart are really going to have to perform probably behind the scenes in practice to get minutes away from some of these guys.
Yeah, fair or unfair, I think that this year is largely going to be kind of a Dwayne Casey evaluation year in some ways, because he's got to get these young guys to move a step forward, and that's kind of the biggest goal of the season. So we'll see how it all kind of shakes out. I'm with you on not overreacting tonight. One, it's just that this is kind of what we expected, and we got it in kind of a negative way in terms of the Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart. I didn't have a problem with taking Killian Hayes out after those two bad turnovers in the middle of the fourth quarter. I really don't have a problem with, like, earning being in that final group. One of the other issues I had was Blake Griffin, 35 minutes. I just think that that's too much. 0-for-5 from three. He looked tired down the stretch. He really didn't play well in the second half at all. Defensively, he's not going to really get things done for you. Griffin and Plumlee down low defensively is a bit of an issue. Again, more positives than negatives with both those guys, certainly on Wednesday night and certainly for more nights than not. These are quality veteran NBA players. But, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns, and it's not, you know, I saw Maurice, our guy, on Facebook, does Detroit Sports World videos. I watched his video on Facebook a little bit ago. He's killing Mason Plumlee for his defense late in the game. And it was, like you said, it was great offensively, 14-8-6 in this game. But this is Karl Anthony Towns we're talking about. I mean, it's unfair to grade someone who's a below average starting center, and I'll just kind of leave it at that for now, for against Karl Anthony Towns. The average center is not Karl Anthony Towns. He's going to kill most even good starting centers in the league. And so it's tough. You kind of got what you got. And Jahlil Okafor wasn't going to do much better. And this was one of those nights where Mason Plumlee's kind of got to be in the closing lineup because Karl Anthony Towns is on the other team. Now, there might be nights where you can get away with Blake Griffin at a small ball five and maybe reward Asekou if he plays well and get him into that final minutes. But, yeah, especially given the preseason and the offseason chatter, I would have liked to have seen Sekou get more than 14 minutes. And no, we're not going to do a minute breakdown after every game, but I just kind of feel like as it sets the tone – for what this year might look like. It was kind of important to talk about it and get those kind of things out there. But I know we got a couple other topics we want to hit. Why don't we hit Mason Plumlee right away? I just want to throw up the mea culpa. I tweeted about this during the game. I got, you know, he played so well, especially the first three quarters. It was really everything you'd hope that you'd get from Mason Plumlee in these games. I don't hate Mason Plumlee. I'm just going to throw that out again. He has a really great couple stretches during the game. I'm getting so many tweets about this. Part of doing the podcast and Pistons Twitter and of course I'm a lot to blame for it. The last couple of years, some of the things I don't like about this whole thing that we have here is that, like, I feel like I was kind of putting myself out there for Bruce Brown more than the average Pistons fan. And maybe I was critical of Luke Kennard more than the average Pistons fan. So, like, I'm a guy who likes this guy and hates this guy, where I never thought that, and it was never true, but that's just kind of how you get labeled. I am not doing this all year where every time Mason Plumlee has a great game, you got to tweet at me that I don't know what I'm talking about. Or every time he struggles for a quarter, I'm going to be like, see, I told you, Mason Plumlee is not worth anything. So let's just, I'm not doing that this year. We're all, you know, we're all rooting on the same team here. We're all kind of heading in the right direction. I think we're all copacetic about what we're rooting for here. Just, I don't know. I just don't want to get those tweets every night. He is a good quarter. That's all I'm saying.
Let's just remember his first name is not, his first name is Mason and not 3-year, $25 million Plumlee.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
The contract is the contract. We've broached that subject. We've crossed that bridge. So I think now if he continues to put out efforts like he did tonight, that contract won't come up in conversation a lot. So again, I think you've been pretty clear that it's not Mason Plumlee that you have a problem with. It was the strategy, the front office and the contract that he received that was a little suspect.
The 3 years and the idea that you use your cap space to get a, you know, what is your starting center, but it was essentially a solid backup center with that money. Now, you talked about Sekou in the Meet a Piston series there on his birthday, turning 20. Happy birthday once again to our guy, Dumbuya, but played pretty well for a couple stretches there. Threw up all the Instagram stories about everyone wishing him a happy birthday. And it's just, this is just me complaining and going back to the Dwayne Casey thing a little bit, but it's just the first game that I just kind of felt like as a coaching staff, you say, hey, let's get Sadiq in there 3 or 4 minutes in the second quarter. Let's get Isaiah 2 minutes in there at some point. I'm not saying closing lineups. I get that the closing lineup, especially early in the season, needs to be the guys who are playing well that game. That's how you set culture. I totally agree on that. I just feel like going into Christmas too, that these young guys could have just gotten all the texts from their family members and their friends that are like, hey man, you made it. You were in the NBA tonight. You played on the court and that happened for you. And again, I'm probably being a little bit too hokey and talking about things that aren't important, but it just, to me, it's a bad taste in the mouth and a bad start to the season that those two guys didn't get on the court.
Well, it should be pointed out, too, that Sekou led the team at +5 in his in his 14 minutes. So he was playing quality basketball. He grabbed 9 rebounds in just 14 minutes. So he was out there working hard. I guess maybe we could harken back to what we spoke about earlier with these red-letter games. So maybe this was a red-letter game to Casey, saying this is one that we should throw everything out there to win. This isn't necessarily a quote-unquote development game where we're going to just try to get minutes to people. we're going to actually try to win this game. And this is what the rotation looks like when we're trying to win games. Now, if there's a game that comes up against, well, we're facing, you know, we got Milwaukee coming up, a couple games, Boston coming up a couple games, where there's a chance that we're out of this game pretty early, so that people like Sekou, Isaiah Stewart, Sadiq Bey may get more minutes. They might not be meaningful minutes because the game may be out of reach at that point. But, you know, when we talk about red letter games, we also have to look at it from Dwayne Casey's perspective and say, hey, this is a game we need to win. So we're going to give the rookies a night off and let these guys that we know how they can perform try to do that so we can get one of these wins.
Yeah, like you said, you don't. There's no world that you want to be 0-8 to start the season and try to drag yourselves through something. So, yeah, it might be important to get that home opener on Saturday night against Cleveland. Real quick, Killian Hayes, 21 minutes, 7 points, 3-for-6 from the field, knocked down the pretty three-pointer from the corner, had the four turnovers, but the two right in a row in the fourth quarter on kind of identical plays where Blake Griffin and him had a little bit of a breakdown, which some of that falls on Blake. By the way, I was prepared, and this is kind of where I'm at, again, and kind of relating to Bay and Stewart, too, if they would have gotten out there. Rookies, 19 years old, you get a complete pass to me on game one. And I just, for a guy who has tempo issues, the thing that I'm actually concerned about on Killian Hayes going forward is his speed and his explosiveness. Like, where is that? And that's going to be an ongoing thing that we're going to talk about. But for a guy who's got the ball in his hands, he's a point guard, things are moving way too fast. He's going up against, you know, veterans in Ricky Rubio and D'Angelo Russell, really tough matchups. I know that those aren't great defensive players, but, you know, guys that have had long and very good careers in this league, especially long with Rubio and very good with Russell. But to me, it's a pass, and it's we'll just kind of see how this goes for Killian Hayes.
Yeah, I've got to imagine he had to feel completely overwhelmed, and he looked like it
just
a couple
like the
of
preseason
times.
First game.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's going to take time. Again, I saw enough from Killian Hayes last night, that he's fine in my book right now. He's where he needs to be. There's a ton of improvement that needs to happen, but we've got time this whole season. You said the first game you're going to give him a pass on. I'm going to give him a complete pass on the whole season. But if he can show flashes during nights, I'm not going to be too worried about it. We saw a big leap from his first preseason game to his second and third and fourth preseason game with just his comfort level. So we amped up the intensity a little bit into a regular season game, and it looks like it's going to be probably the same learning curve, probably a little slower because depending on who he's playing night in and night out. But I'm not too worried about it. He showed, you know, the nice three-pointer. He actually did dribble. You know, you talked about the explosiveness. He did dribble by a couple guys tonight. He missed that floater about three or four times in a row before he finally got that to fall, which was nice to see. So you can tell that there's a couple of things that he's comfortable with and he kind of reverts to. Going to his left is one of those things. And he'll do that until he can break those habits and just kind of get out of that. And that's just going to take time and comfort. And, you know, I saw Blake after those two turnovers, you know, kind of go over to him, wrap his arm around him, said something. I'm not sure what he said, but it looks like everybody's on the same page that this is, you know, going to be a process with Killian, especially at that position too. It's not like you're just throwing somebody out there, a wing that's going to sit there and shoot and just and penetrate the basketball. He's got to carry this team. He was given the keys to this franchise, and it's the toughest position to have to deal with. You're going to be in the spotlight. You're going to have the ball in your hands, and it's just going to take time.
Yeah, absolutely, and no issues with me. Saturday night, coming back home for his first game in the regular season at Little Caesars Arena, going up against Colin Sexton, who dropped 27 in the win against Charlotte on Wednesday night, and also Darius Garland, who had 22. So the young Cleveland backcourt in the division, young guys that we'll see how Killian looks against those guys on Saturday night. But another big pickup for the organization on Wednesday, Big Sean coming home to the Detroit Pistons. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Locked On Women's Basketball is the only daily podcast covering the world of women's hoops. Join an all-star cast of hosts each day of the week with a comprehensive look at the worlds of the NBA, women's college basketball, and international competition that you simply won't find anywhere else. Subscribe to Locked On Women's Basketball on your favorite podcast provider. Brother Brian joining us for Thursdays with Brian this week. No show tomorrow. It's the Christmas holiday. Hope you guys enjoy the nice holiday weekend. We'll be back for you on Monday, breaking down Saturday's game and looking ahead as well. But Brian, before the game and before the season started on Wednesday night, some big news about Big Sean and the Detroit Pistons. He took my old job with the Pistons. What was the details there?
Yeah, Detroit rapper Big Sean. He was named the creative director of innovation for the Detroit Pistons, which is obviously a new position. He said it was a lifelong dream of his to work for the Pistons, so it's great. I think it's a good match. I think it's part of a bigger picture, though, is kind of some of the things I've picked up on. You know, they started the 313 shop. We had the 313 logo that, you know, came out on draft day, I believe. And then this summer they hired Mike Zvodsky as the chief business officer, who then almost immediately brought in Tyrell Kirkham, who you had mentioned was from Roc Nation, as the VP of brand and marketing strategy. And recently he oversaw the rebrand of the NFL's Los Angeles Rams, which I'm not a huge fan of that, but it was clean looking and it's kind of a, you know, a kickstart to the franchise. You always have Piston Twitter. They're always clamoring for better city jerseys, better alternate jerseys, or a throwback to the teal
the
jerseys.
Teals.
I think this, you know, front office is kind of gearing up to move into the future. And I don't know, you know, I doubt it's a complete rebrand. I'm sure, you know, the Piston logo is going to look, you know, basically the same. Red, white, and blue is still going to be the primary colors, I would think. But I think it seems like they're just kind of gearing up for a significant move into the 21st century. As the Pistons, I've always felt, are in that weird area between, you know, kind of kitschy and and not necessarily iconic. So I think they're a franchise that is kind of in a nice spot that they could use a pretty significant update in the look that they have when they're on the court.
Yeah, you got to thread the needle, right? You got to maintain a little bit of the tradition, but you also have to look forward. It's a tough job, and I'm glad that they hired Big Sean instead of me. I just can't. I don't know. It's. I think I've aged out of knowing what's cool on uniforms and branding and all. I do like the 3-on-3, the 313 gear that they have right now. I like the Jalen Rose videos. I do kind of like this offseason that they had in terms of the branding, but again, I'm not the target audience for this, so a little bit of a weakness here in terms of my analysis. But Big Sean, you know, from Cass Tech and famously representing Detroit all the time, love it, and getting more people like that into the fold, the Jalen Roses of the world that that have the credibility with the younger set. Well, maybe not Jalen Rose as much with the younger folks, but being on TV and being a national media member right now, and of course Big Sean. I think that those are steps in the right direction. And yeah, if the kids get the better jerseys, I'm all for it. I would change the logo right away. I've said that before. The circular logo, I've had just about enough of that. But other than that, yeah, maintaining the legacy of the old stuff, but also moving it forward in a good way. Totally fine, and we'll see how it gets handled. And Big Sean, just the guy to be one of the people involved with it. I'm sure they'll set him. I'm sure he'll be there 40 hours a week at team headquarters. He'll probably get a, you know, maybe he'll go eat lunch at the Plum Market downstairs with all the other employees of the Pistons. I'm sure he'll be there every day on the Slack channel, right involved in the day-to-day operations of the Pistons. We got a pocket protector in there, a badge ID, all that good stuff. So, Brother Brian, as you do every week, tells us all about the college games to watch. And first off, don't watch basketball all weekend unless you're stuck at home by yourself. Like, you know, get with the family. If you are stuck at home by yourself, you can't travel to see the loved ones, call your friends. There are other people out there. I've been that guy who's been kind of away from family on holidays. Sometimes call that other person that you know is in that same situation. Connect with families. It is the holidays. But do watch some basketball as well. And Brian's got a game for us to keep an eye on.
And it is actually on Christmas Day. With all the other NBA games, if you need a break from NBA basketball and want to check out a prospect, we're going to keep it local. It's a kind of a lean schedule for college basketball here over the holiday weekend. But on Christmas Day, our own Michigan Wolverines are going to Nebraska to take on the Cornhuskers. And Michigan has a player, Franz Wagner. He's a 6'9", 220-pound sophomore guard. He's from Berlin, Germany. So far this year, he's only averaging 9.5 points, but he's grabbing 7 boards. And the Wolverines are undefeated and ranked 19th in the country. Most mock drafts I've seen have him going in the back end of the first round, which doesn't necessarily bode well for the Pistons in their current situation, because if they're able to get enough wins to, you know, have their draft pick there, they actually lose it to the Rockets at that point. But as we saw with the precedent that we do have on Troy Weaver and draft night, he's a wheeler and a dealer, so we may end up with a pick that may suit young Mr. Wagner coming to Detroit. So if you want to get a look at him, that's on Christmas Day. It's at 6 o'clock, and it's on the Big Ten Network.
On Juwan Howard and the Michigan Wolverines, 6-0 on the season, number 19 in the country, as you mentioned. Isaiah Livers, also another guy to watch out, more of a second-round pick, and then for probably drafts down the road. And if you're a Michigan fan, you're hoping maybe down the road as far as possible. Hunter Dickinson playing really well at center. I have actually not sat down and watched a Michigan game yet this year, so I'm sure in Royal Oak at the Shook household, we'll probably have that on in the background on Friday night, as you guys should as well, 6 o'clock on the Big Ten Network in Lincoln, Nebraska, to take on the Huskers there. But that'll do it for the week. And Thursdays with Brian. He is Brother Brian. I am host Matt Shook. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. Basketball is back, and I hope you guys are excited as we are to talk Pistons all season long here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a great holiday weekend, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday.
How big is Sean?